I am very thankful to be part of that church body that we have here in Westside. It's such a blessing to be part of a church that do support each other and do lift each other up and encourage each other. And I suppose we're blessed by God in so many ways in this church to have each and every one of us here serving together for His glory. So last week, Tuani left us with three questions. Tuani was visiting from Douglas Baptist, and if you remember, he left us with three questions. The first one was, what desires of this world am I holding on to and not repenting of? The second one was, what fruits of the Spirit do I most want or need? And then the third one was, what opportunities do I have in my life to display this fruit? And I hope you've had a chance to ponder them during the week, think about them, mull them over. I suppose for me, I was thinking about the fruits of the Spirit and going through them and thinking, which one do I need most? But it's actually probably every single one that I lack in some way that I need more and more. Today, Tuani last week was talking about good news that was coming for us, that John the Baptist was preaching about this good news, and I suppose I'm going to bring you that great news today, that Jesus' baptism is great news for us. So our passage this morning comes from Luke chapter 3, verse 21 to 38, and as we read it, I want you to keep one question in your mind. How is what Jesus did in baptism great news for us, or why is Jesus' baptism great news for us? So let's read it, for those of you who might know the second half of this passage, there are some difficult names to pronounce. If you know better than I do with the pronunciation, please correct me afterwards, but we'll give it a go. So this is Luke chapter 3, verses 21 to 38. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Now Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry, and he was the son, so it was thought, of Joseph, the son of Heli, the son of Mattath, the son of Levi, the son of Melchi, the son of Janai, the son of Joseph, the son of Mattathias, the son of Amos, the son of Nahum, the son of Esli, the son of Nagai, the son of Matt, the son of Mattathias, the son of Simeon, the son of Joseph, the son of Joda, the son of Joanan, the son of Reshi, the son of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the son of Neri, the son of Melchi, the son of Adi, the son of Kosam, the son of Elmadam, the son of Ur, the son of Joshua, the son of Eleazar, the son of Joram, the son of Mattath, the son of Levi, the son of Simeon, the son of Judah, the son of Joseph, the son of Jonam, the son of Eliakim, the son of Milia, the son of Mina, the son of Mattatha, the son of Nathan, the son of David, the son of Jesse, the son of Obed, the son of Boaz, the son of Salmon, the son of Nashum, the son of Aminadab, the son of Ram, the son of Hezron, the son of Perez, the son of Judah, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, the son of Terah, the son of Naor, the son of Serug, the son of Reu, the son of Peleg, the son of Eber, the son of Shelah, the son of Canaan, the son of Arphaxad, the son of Shem, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech, the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalal, the son of Kenan, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. Thanks for bearing with us as we read through all those names. They're definitely a mouthful. But this is the first we hear of Jesus since he was just 12 years old in the temple. And you might remember 2 weeks ago, Hugh spoke to us about that passage, about Jesus being found in the temple by his parents, teaching the teachers. And in this passage, we come across Jesus and he is about 30 years old and about to start his ministry. But as he goes to begin his ministry, we find him here coming to be baptized. And as I speak to you this morning, I want to take you beyond looking at this passage as just an example of being baptized, but to actually realize that Jesus' baptism is a matter of life and death for us. I want to show you two insights into how Jesus' baptism and his identity in being baptized is great news for us. One, that Jesus' baptism into our sin is a matter of life and death, so that we can be identified with him, so we should be baptized. Two, Jesus' baptism is the fulfillment of all righteousness, and we can be identified in the family of God, so we should put our faith in him. I'm sure you've all experienced good leadership at one point or another in your life. It might have been a teacher, it might have been maybe a boss, maybe a parent, a family member, someone who stooped to your level in order to lead by example or to help you out in a situation where maybe you didn't deserve the help or maybe you didn't expect them to identify themselves with your situation and help out. For me, it was during my Leaving Cert physics class. A lot of us were struggling with several parts of the physics curriculum, and it was just in the lead up to the exams, it was maybe 6 weeks before, and a teacher from the school was substituting in our class one day, and he realized our struggles. Now, he could have ignored those struggles, he could have enjoyed his long break times, he could have chatted for an hour in the staff room, but instead, he identified with us in our struggles, he came amongst us, realized our need for help, and helped us out. He wasn't going to just let us struggle on. No, he identified in our situation. He kind of got stuck into it with us. And he was an example to me of the exact type of teacher that I wanted to be, that he was willing to take that time to step out of his comfort zone and come kind of into the mud with me and my class, that he was willing to take that time and energy for my sake. And Jesus' actions in the first part of Luke chapter 3, verse 21, although similar, are on a whole different level of coming alongside, identifying with those in a struggle, and leading people by example. John the Baptist, up to this point, had preached baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and people flocked to him. They flocked to John the Baptist to carry out this deeply symbolic act of baptism, a public declaration of one's repentance or turning away from your sin, carried out when they realized they had sinned against God and wanted to turn from their sin. The action of a sinner being immersed into the water and rising a new creation, having that sin washed off in the water. If you recall, in the Old Testament, there were other examples like this. For example, when Naaman was told to go, he was instructed to go and wash in the river seven times. It was the idea of this sickness being washed off into the water. And here we see people, in the start of verse 21, that the people were being baptized. They were flocking to John the Baptist to carry out this symbolic, this deeply symbolic action of being immersed into the water, having their sins washed into the water, and choosing God on a daily basis. It was an act of obedience to God. But let's take a moment to look at Luke's account of Jesus' baptism. It's not very long. It's not very detailed like some of the other Gospels. And we see that there are crowds of people being baptized for the forgiveness of sin, and Jesus comes amongst them, and that he was baptized. Note how Luke doesn't put emphasis on the same things as, say, Matthew chapter 3. But he does point out that Jesus is praying. How wonderful that in the act of baptism, we see Jesus putting a large importance on prayer right there. And the heavens open up, and the Holy Spirit descends on Jesus, anointing him or marking him as the Messiah, the promised one that had been promised all along. And we actually, if you read in Matthew chapter 3, we see that John actually saw that happen. John the Baptist saw the dove come down and land on Jesus. It was God's anointing of Jesus at the beginning of his ministry. You are my son, with you I'm well pleased. It was a declaration from God of who Jesus is. He is God's son, the chosen redeemer. And you can see that the Trinity is actually present here as well. God the Father speaks. The Holy Spirit moves and the Son acts, all three present at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, because all three are concerned with and part of salvation for humanity. All three equal in bringing salvation to us. How amazing is it that God is concerned with your salvation? But why then was Jesus baptized? Jesus was without sin. He didn't need baptism, did he? He's the perfect, sinless Lamb of God. Why was he getting baptized? Jesus didn't need baptism for himself. He was without sin. He had committed no wrong. Therefore, baptism for the forgiveness of sin was not why Jesus was being baptized. This act of baptism wasn't for himself. Jesus, through whom all creation was made and is held together, had stooped, being created in human flesh, came along, sinners like you and me, being baptized. And you can picture this scene of repentant sinners flocking to John the Baptist at the River Jordan, being baptized, and John himself being baffled by the appearance of Jesus here. Why was he here? But he's here to identify amongst sinners and be baptized with them. If you think for a moment about the likes of Jeff Bezos, the creator of Amazon, you can't imagine him down packing boxes in the delivery depot, can you? No, you'd expect to see him somewhere in a boardroom with self-important people making big decisions. But Jesus isn't a leader like that. He doesn't go and identify himself in Jerusalem with the Pharisees or the teachers of the law, the self-righteous people, because his identity isn't with the self-righteous. He doesn't go and identify himself amongst the leaders of the world or those with great power or wealth. No. He identifies himself with sinners like you and me. Verse 21 says, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. Who were all the people? Just like you and me, they were people who had realized their need for forgiveness of their sin, realized the wrong they had committed against God, and were wanting to turn from their ways to God. Jesus joined fallen humanity in being baptized into their sins, sins that he would carry to the cross. And we know that this is God's will. How do we know that it's God's will? Well, in Matthew chapter 3, we can see John the Baptist's recount of Jesus' baptism. And in verse 15 it says, Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. So it's God's will that Jesus is here being baptized amongst sinful people because he is to fulfill all righteousness. Family gatherings are wonderful. I'm sure plenty of us have large families, and the best of family gatherings are around food. And you all know, you're probably all familiar with the mess that comes afterwards and the cleanup of the dishes. You know the scenario where all the dishes are being washed in the dishwasher and the water gets dirtier and dirtier by every dish that passes through. Maybe it's spaghetti bolognese. You all know the greasiness that comes with spaghetti bolognese. That oily scum that comes off the dishes. And then you come across a clean, clear glass. And it looks like it hasn't been used. And you dip it through the water. And what comes out the other side? A dirty glass. Covered in that scum that comes off spaghetti bolognese. And as Jesus is immersed into the water, he's immersed into the sins of the people. It's that symbol of being immersed into the sins of the people. He takes on the sins of the people. Sins that he would go on to bear the blame for on the cross. See, Jesus' baptism is actually a matter of life and death for us. Because, as that verse in Matthew stated, he's going to fulfill all righteousness on our behalf, so that we can be baptized into his righteousness. What greater love is there than this? That God would send Jesus to step down from his heavenly throne walk among sinners like you and me, identify with us, take on our sins, so that he could redeem each one of us. But Jesus' baptism forces the question of the importance of baptism for us. What about us? If Jesus, God's Son, is being baptized, then he is putting great emphasis on the importance of baptism. We know that baptism is an outward act of an inner change that comes when you come to Christ for the forgiveness of sin. And we see this picture of the cleansing in the water during baptism. For you, when your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up from your offspring to succeed you your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish his throne and kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. God will be his father. It's referring to Jesus. We also know that God promised Abraham that his descendants would be as numerous as the sand on the seashore. Luke even traces it right back as far as Adam. It's a long genealogy. Adam, who was a sinner. Sin came into the world through Adam, so that every generation to follow would have to give an atoning sacrifice for their sin. A sacrificial lamb that the priest would lay his hand on, laying the sins of that person on the lamb. And then that lamb will be sacrificed as an atoning sacrifice to God for that person's sin. Without these sacrifices, these men would have been separated from God because of their sin. And for generations, sinful man had to give an atoning sacrifice for the sin that they committed, the wrongs that they had done, through a priest at the temple. By Adam's offense, all men born were subject to this. But Jesus, God's Son, has made a new way. By Jesus' obedience, all born again were born into this fullness of righteousness, eternal life. So looking at family history, it's no good. Looking at the past is no good. The future is so much more exciting. The future is worth being sure of. Jesus is the firstborn, the first fruits of a new covenant with God. Jesus was without sin, the perfect Lamb of God, to fulfill what no man could do, to satisfy all that the temple was. He is the high priest and the Lamb who is taking on the sin of the people to be sacrificed to God for those sins. As Jesus is immersed into the water, it's a symbol of him taking on those sins, as the priest would have put the sin on the lamb. It's a symbol of him taking on those sins as he's immersed into the water. And then he takes that sin to the cross for us. He's the priest that mediates between God and us, for us, so that when God looks at us, he is satisfied that we are justified by Jesus. For us, there's no greater news than this. This news is worth shouting about. It's worth identifying yourself in this family tree. Did you ever imagine that you could be considered God's family? These men listed in these verses were part of the line of Abraham, part of the line of Adam, the Son of God. But it's only because of Jesus that we can be part of this family, the family of Abraham, God's family. We're made sons of God. How? Because Jesus is that atoning sacrifice for us. This is why baptism, Jesus' baptism, is a matter of life and death for us. It's not just an example of being baptized. No, Jesus is being immersed into our sin, the sin that he would take to the cross and defeat for us. A lamb without blemish in our place. He was the fulfillment of all the temple was, so that we can be right with God. So as we see Jesus identify himself amongst humans, sinful human beings, being baptized into our sin, and we understand that he's the fulfillment of all that the temple was, we see that Jesus' identity as God's Son identifies us as sons of God. So Munster rugby team have been enjoying a really good start to their season this year, even beating Leinster by some margin. And after a game recently, one of the Munster players was being interviewed and he was asked, you know, what does it mean to wear this jersey? And he was saying, you know, it's amazing to put on this jersey. You're part of something big. You're part of a family. And that means something huge. And we do that. We often find that about ourselves, don't we? We put on a jersey so we can be identified as part of a team or part of something big. We want to be identified as one of them. And Jesus makes that possible for us to be part of something huge, part of God's family, the sons of God. In verse 22 it says, "And the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, 'You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased.'" A voice from heaven. God's voice. And his words are that of a pleased father. We read these words and we know that Jesus being baptized was God's will, because he declares, "You're my son. I love you. I'm pleased with you." And the Holy Spirit anoints Jesus, marking him as that Messiah. God affirms all the actions that Jesus is doing, identifying himself amongst human beings. Why? Because God is concerned with your salvation. He wants us to be part of this huge family. So Jesus is the Son of God. We read it there. When God speaks, he says, "You are my son." Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah for all mankind. But Jesus' identity as God's son means so much more for us. Galatians 4, verse 4 to 6, Paul writes this, "But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, 'Abba, Father.'" The time had fully come. Jesus, who is God's son, born under the law, the line of Abraham, identified himself amongst sinners like you and me to fulfill all righteousness for us, to bring us into that family, to make us part of something huge. And then we can call out, "Abba, Father." It's personal, isn't it? You can call out, "Abba, Father," to God eternal. So as Jesus prays and the heavens open up after his baptism, God speaks and says, "You're my son. I'm well pleased with you." And Jesus says, it's almost like he's saying, "Here I am amongst these sinners. See them through me. Love them." And as a result, when we put our faith in Jesus, God looks at us and he sees his son. We're adopted into his family. We're seen as his children, and he looks on us with Christ's righteousness. That's what covers us, and he's pleased. See, Jesus didn't need baptism for himself, but his baptism is a matter of life and death for us. It was an act where he identified himself among sinners like you and me, so that we could be identified with God as children of God. So have you put that jersey on? Have you come to God through Jesus for the forgiveness of your sin? Have you identified yourself with Christ before God, declaring, "This is my Savior"? Because only then can God look at you with Christ's righteousness, the righteousness that he gave us by being baptized and taking on our sin, going to the cross and defeating sin and death for us. Only then can God say, "I am pleased to see you with my son's righteousness." The spirit of his son, Jesus, will dwell in your heart, and you will be redeemed by him, no longer separated from God by sin, but adopted into his family through sonship because of Jesus' righteousness. Jesus' baptism, it wasn't an example of being baptized or how to be baptized. No, It was completely and utterly for us, so that he could take on our sin and be our righteousness. See, Jesus is concerned with your salvation. The God of all creation is concerned and wants you to be saved. So come to him. Put your faith in him. Now is the time. Tuani was saying that last week, that now is the time. It's not next week, it's now. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your concern for us. Lord, we are so undeserving of your concern. We're undeserving of your grace, your mercy. Lord, we know we are sinners, we are fallen people. But we praise you that you sent your Son Jesus, that he was willing to stoop from his heavenly throne, walk among sinful people in human flesh, and yet live a perfect life, taking on our sin and bearing each one of them to the cross. Lord, we praise you that you have justified us through him. Lord, we are seen as righteous. We can be seen as your sons and daughters because of what Jesus did for us. And Lord, we are so humbled. God, I pray for each and every one here, Lord, that if there is any who don't believe in you yet, Lord, that you will really speak to their hearts. Lord, that your Spirit will just dwell in their hearts, Lord, change them, soften their hearts to you. Because, Lord, it is amazing to be part of this family, and the only way we can be part of it is through your Son, Jesus. Thank you for making a way for that to be possible. Amen. I think we have a closing song. I'm not sure of the number. What's here? You laid aside your majesty, which is what we've been speaking about this morning, that Jesus laid aside his majesty. He laid aside everything for our sake.